Well, morning. These are my about to do something clothes. If I'm wearing these, there's a plan afoot and something's gonna get done. They look like it, they smell like it. I always wear these. It's kind of like paint, garden, whatever. I'm putting this stuff on. Now, as we wrap up this Book of Galatians, there's a couple of things I want to just call to our attention, because ultimately the Book of Galatians, Paul is saying, let's get some stuff done. You know, Shane last week spoke to this whole idea of sowing and reaping, of actually putting some things into practice that bring life and goodness. And not just for ourselves, but for others, that others ultimately are going to reap the benefit of what we do, of what we bring. Paul actually says it's time to get out and get on with it. Enough talking, enough arguing, enough back and forth, one-upping one another. Let's just get on with it. Paul actually makes this statement right in the beginning that in light of everything that Jesus has done, Jesus giving his life that we might walk in the liberty of that, he actually says, you know what? I am shocked that you would so quickly depart the incredible gift and grace of Jesus and go with some other form of good news that actually is no good news at all. That's where Paul begins in Galatians chapter 1. And then he takes apart these arguments that people have brought. You see, the whole book of Galatians, if we do a quick review, is this fight against these people that are preoccupied with proving their own self-righteousness, that they're good enough. And then they're trying to get everyone else to sort of get alongside this argument and take it on. Paul just says, come on, that's not good news. The good news was the grace of Jesus, and let's get on with the living of that. Ultimately, Paul comes to this sort of pinnacle point in Galatians in chapter 5, right at the beginning of it. You might remember, Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, don't be held subject to some yoke of slavery. Don't be ensnared by anything anymore. You see, there were people that Paul actually says were sent to spy on their liberty. And he goes, it's not a secret. It's the grace of Christ. And when we live in that grace of Christ, activity begins. We get our eyes off of ourselves and this sort of preoccupation with ourselves, and we begin to see other people differently. We begin to love and serve. See, that's what Paul says right after. He says it's for freedom that Christ set us free. He says, don't take that freedom and be self-indulgent about it. It's not about being free to do whatever I want. He says, use that freedom to love and to serve. It seems pretty simple, but gosh, why does it get so hard then? Use that freedom not to indulge all those old parts of our human nature that sadly do have a preoccupation with self. Get on with seeing, serving, loving others. You see, that's what Jesus came for. Now, when Paul says this thing about the fruits of the old nature or the fleshly nature or our sinful nature, he says that it includes things like immorality and the sort of obvious ones, but then he says all these other things that actually Daniel spoke to 2 weeks ago. The fruits of the fleshly nature, or the fruits of the Spirit working within us. And those old ways or those self-indulgent ways want to bicker, argue, cause division, envy, strife. But the work of the Spirit in us, do you remember what they are? The fruits of that are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Paul says there's no law against these things, and the beauty of these things is they're not self-indulgent. Love isn't just about me loving me, it's about me loving others. Joy isn't just about me being joyful, it's about me being a joy bringer. Peace isn't just being at peace with myself, it's about me being an initiator of peace, of reconciliation, of restoration. And you start to look at these fruits and you realize the otherness of them. You see, those fruits actually begin to cause life in others. I think of them as sort of providing a place for others, a place of shelter, a place of safety, of rest, of comfort. All those fruits of the Spirit at work in us become a gift for other people. I would like to think of it as refreshing to others. Pause for a moment and ask, is my life, is your life a gift to others, a place of refreshing for others? You know, I once had this dream with my wife in our home in Colorado. We looked at our backyard and there was sort of big vacant space in the middle of our yard. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to plant a tree that one day would become a place of shelter, of fun, of shade, of rest, that maybe our children could grow up in, but maybe other kids could grow up in, and who knows, maybe even our grandchildren would grow up in. But we moved. The funny thing is, that tree, that just continued to grow. And years later, my kids moved back to Colorado. Funnily enough, my daughter began to rent the house next door to the house she grew up in. Eventually, that fence between those two yards was taken down. That tree now is a place of shade and shelter for not just my kids who get to sit under it, but my grandson right now gets to crawl around under the same tree. The things that we invest ourselves in, the things that we plant, the things that we do, those fruits of the Spirit in us that are growing, we don't always even sit in the shade of them. Someone else, years down the trail, may invest or may reap the benefits of that which we invested ourselves in. The source of it, it's Christ. The source of it all is Jesus at work in me, transforming me, conforming me to His likeness. We can get all caught up with how do we do it, how do we achieve it. It's Christ's work in us, the hope of glory. There's a song that years ago became really sort of an anthem in my own life. It called me back to this reality that Christ in me is the sufficiency that I need to live. It's a song that's called Enough. It says, you're my reward. You're my source. You're my everything. And I asked Craig and the team if they would just take us into this song. And just for a moment, before I bring you back and finish this up, can we engage with this idea that it's not about me and what I can accomplish, but what He, by His grace, has accomplished in me. He is more than enough.
All of you having you is more than enough.
You see, when we begin to live a life that is born out of the abundance of the gift of Jesus, it should honestly become a life that is transformative to the world around me. That as it grows up, it becomes beauty, becomes shade. I hope this little tree will become a reminder to people. It'll become a place that maybe people come and be reminded of that work of Jesus that becomes beauty, refuge, shade, shelter to others. You see, when we live a life that is just self-focused, self-indulgent, it becomes this really slippery slope towards self-centered and self-preserving. We forget things like self-sacrifice. You know, there's honestly this trait that when I am me-centric, I actually lose sight of others. People have used old sayings like staring at our own belly buttons. We become so small in our thinking that we lose sight of much else that gives us reference. It happens in people, it happens in nations, it happens in churches. This slippery slide where we think we matter more than anything else. We forget what it is to build into the greater good. And we forget what it is to invest ourselves with deep intent that others would flourish. You know, it's actually sad to me when the whole mission of the church is just my salvation. It's so much more than that. Jesus came that all people would come to the knowledge of Him and His grace and His salvation. You know, everyone starts out with good intent, people, nations, churches, with passion, with goals. We start to achieve and then we begin to settle. Then we find comfort, then lethargy. It's more about the dressing up. And this is what Paul is really speaking into. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. It's really become that life verse for me, where Paul says this: don't become weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap a harvest if we don't quit, if we don't give up. But as much as you have opportunity, do good to all, especially to the household of believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says, get on with the living, get on with the doing. And he comes to this place where he finishes chapter 6 and he says, look at the bold letters I write to you with. He wraps it all up and he says, the outside doesn't matter. These things that you measure yourself by, the things that other people want to measure you by, the rituals, if you got it all right, he says, it doesn't matter. What counts is this: whether we are a new creation on the inside. Are you a new creation on the inside? Is that grace and life of Christ producing fruits in us that become a gift to others, that become shade, that become refuge, that become life? Maybe sit with these thoughts and ask yourself, what are you living for? Who's reaping the benefits of your life? Are we building just for me or for others and their future? I really do pray that as we go out of this book of Galatians, we come into a season of gratitude and thanksgiving, that you'll really begin to reflect and ask yourself some of those questions. But as Paul wraps up Galatians, he says, may his peace be upon you. And may the peace of Christ be upon you and with you. God bless you, and we'll see you really soon.